with us on Fridays. Brad Power Sports will let you know how you can get all of his information. And, Brad, let me ask you, before we get into Monday night's game, the national championship game, is it fair game yet to ask college basketball questions?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so if anybody has a college basketball betting question, Brad is prepared to give you his answer. Take us back through Monday night and your thinking about the betting and what went on in that game.
Well, pre-flop, so pre-game, I mean, I took positions on Georgia, Georgia money line, because I thought that was cheap. Georgia alternate point spreads, you know, meaning I thought Georgia could win by more than a touchdown, and I get, you know, plus money on the buyback there. So I definitely was heavy on the Georgia position there. Didn't have anything on the total. You know, after watching the first probably four or five drives of the game, I got off of that position. I found myself betting Alabama in game because I just didn't like what I was seeing from the Georgia side. Second half, after Jamison Williams got hurt, I took a little bit back on Georgia. So it's kind of a seesaw thing when you're going through process there. Ended up making a little bit in the end on Georgia. And as far as the game went, I mean, obviously, you know, the Jamison Williams injury played a significant role, in my opinion, on the Alabama side. Also, I would say Hall dropping that pass late third quarter, Alabama's up 9-6, would have at the very least been a first down, if not a touchdown, on that long third and 11. And then, you know, obviously Georgia blocks the field goal after it. So I thought that was probably the key play of the game.
The pros, where did they have their money in this game?
I would say sharper bettors are more on the Georgia side. I think public-wise, Alabama was more of a popular public underdog. It wasn't overwhelming by any stretch. I mean, there wasn't like a vast consensus where, you know, 80% of the pros were on Georgia and 80% of the public was on Alabama. You saw a lot of split action. And that's why you didn't see too much line movement in the game.
Question here, NFL question, from Mr. LC. Brad, your thoughts on the Patriots +4 against the Bills?
Oh, well, I mean, it's a tough one, and this line's been sitting 4 all week, so it's just going to tell you that there isn't much value. I mean, current form, I actually lean with the Bills. I know it's not, you know, ideal to you know, fade Belichick in the playoffs, but I just think Buffalo's the clearly the better team. I thought they proved that in the most recent game when they went on the road to New England and won that game and covered that game. I know New England won the first matchup here, but obviously, you can kind of throw that one out the window as far as, I mean, played with, you know, 40-50 mile an hour wind in that one. You know, it's another weather game as far as extreme cold, so that might favor New England, in my opinion, just because they're a little bit better at the line of scrimmage. But I lean with Buffalo in this one.
Brad, as far as news, whether it's coaching, hires, assistant hires, transfer portal news, anything jump out at you here the last week or so?
I would say, you know, the news with Mike Elston going to Michigan, more on the Michigan side. I mean, I'm not sure Jim Harbaugh's making that kind of hire if he's going to the NFL. So to me, and the chances of Jim Harbaugh, and I'm sure he'll probably be announced as an NFL coach later today, knowing my luck. But I'm not sure he's making that hire to get Mike Elston from Notre Dame if he's not staying in Ann Arbor. So I thought that was probably the biggest one yesterday.
Yeah, that was interesting for sure. And I just wonder, and I speculated on this earlier, Elston's always been a very popular, well thought of assistant there for what, 12 years. And they let him be the defensive coordinator for the bowl game. I don't think there were any promises about the future. He's also known as a pretty good recruiter. I just wonder if, and Michigan is his alma mater. I need to keep that in mind. But I just wonder if he got his feelings hurt knowing he's not going to be the defensive coordinator and they're looking at others for that position.
Yeah, and it wouldn't have been the first time. I mean, he's been passed up 4 or 5 times by both Brian Kelly and Marcus Freeman. So maybe it's some of that. Yeah, and you're working now under different leadership there in South Bend, a guy that you're not as familiar with as you were obviously working with Kelly for so many years. So, yeah, I mean, but with all that being considered, still, when that news happened yesterday, it's still, you know, a shock considering, you know, the comments Elston made when he committed to Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame after Brian Kelly left. So that was still, you know, of the coaching moves that I've seen, at least from the assistants, that was, you know, a stunner as far as I'm concerned.
Did the Caleb Williams story about entering the portal, and again, not new news, did that surprise you?
It didn't surprise me. I mean, you read the tea leaves with Jackson Dart leaving. I mean, obviously, it looks like Caleb Williams is going to go to SC. I mean, we'll see how everything shakes out, and I got to look and see, you know, what everything looks like at the line of scrimmage for SC. But, not, I mean, I'm being serious. I mean, SC's, with every move they're making, I mean, and especially in a watered-down conference like the Pac-12, I mean, they're going from top 25 contender to, you know, borderline, maybe outside the top 10-ish, and we'll see what other moves Lincoln Riley can make, you know, in the next 6 months or so. So, I mean, that'll be one of the bigger off-season moves as far as affecting a team's power rating. I mean, you'd have to bump up SC, you know, if they get a guy like Caleb Williams, another, you know, 3 points or so.
What about Notre Dame getting Brandon Joseph to come in and fill in at safety? And everybody can see, now Oklahoma State's pretty good, but everybody can see that secondary without Kyle Hamilton, and certainly the corner opposite Cam Hart, is a problem for them right now.
Yeah, I mean, a big get. I mean, he's going to be a starter at the weakest, you know, position group that Notre Dame has coming in the season, but would be that secondary. I mean, especially when you're facing Ohio State in week one.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a must get, and they got him. I will say, from a performance aspect, you know, Joseph did struggle last season compared to what he had 2 years ago, where he was, you know, a consensus All-American type performance. You know, a really good get, a must get for Notre Dame, and I don't think they're done yet. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of need at wide receiver and still in the secondary. It would be interesting to see if they get another at least body in the quarterback room. But, you know, I know Notre Dame has won a lot of games the last 5 years, but they are still a long ways away from being a legitimate national title contender. I mean, it's Marcus Freeman, you know, inherited a good situation, but definitely not a great one there. There's still a lot of holes on that roster.
Josh in London, Ohio says, Brad, some people think the Steelers can beat Kansas City. What do you think about that matchup?
Well, I would caution those people to at least, you know, plug in the tape and watch the game from just a few weeks ago. Or, I mean, the Chiefs won 36-10, and they were playing with one arm tied behind their back. I believe, you know, Kelce and Tyreek Hill missed the game for the Chiefs, and they still won 36-10. But with that being said, I'm not running to the window to bet Kansas City. I mean, I get it. Pittsburgh will play with a chip on their shoulder. It could be Roethlisberger's last game. They're playing with house money. Mike Tomlin's a really good underdog coach in the NFL. I would argue even the best underdog coach. So, I mean, for those reasons is why I took the under instead. Kansas City's defense has been really good. Their last six home games, they've only allowed 10 points per game. Yeah, I also, you know, this is something that I would never bet in the regular season because you just can't win long term with it. But I like teasing Kansas City down to 6.5. I mean, teasing them down through 10-7 and tying that up with another teaser with Tampa Bay being a first leg down to 2.5. So that would be my best bet of that game involving the Chiefs. Tease them down to 6.5, tied up with Tampa Bay.
All right, here's our first basketball question. And it's a doozy. Plain Kiffin. And first of all, I don't even know if these two teams are playing tonight. So I'm just reading this, taking his word for it. Says, any thoughts tonight on the total of 133.5 in the game tonight between St. Peter's and Monmouth? So first of all, is it even true they're playing, Brad?
Yeah, they are playing. You know, my projections have it right around 134, so I do not have anything on that one. But I appreciate the question there, first basketball question of the season, a total on a MAC game, the Metro Atlantic Conference. I will not be involved. I'll just put it that way.
Josh says, Brad, if we're going to go ahead and look to favorites, if they said, Brad, today you've got to put your odds out for next year when it comes to the favorites to win the national championship, just give us a couple. How would that look?
Well, Alabama's clearly one, and I did make a bet already. Decent one. I bet, Alabama plus 325 to win the title. I thought that line should have been at least plus 200, if not lower than that. That's how much I think of the Crimson Tide. So they're in the one spot. Two spot for me is going to be the Buckeyes. I just think, they got by far the best offense in the country. And I like a lot of the changes Ryan Day's made on the defensive side of the ball. So I like Ohio State too. Three, I'm going to go with Georgia. Obviously, they're still going to be super talented, the defending national champ. I just, I worry, a first-time national champ, are they going to be completely locked in? Even a guy like Nick Saban struggled after his first title at Alabama, struggled after his first title at LSU the following season. So that would be the major concern there for Georgia. They'd be three. Four or five, I'm guessing, is going to be A&M and Clemson for me. There's a big drop off after Georgia down to Texas A&M and Clemson. I'm pretty sure those are going to be the teams four and five. I haven't decided which is going to be the makeup there.
So $100 on Alabama gets you what, 325 if you're right?
Yeah, 325 back. I bet 500 on it. So, down to, I saw as low as plus 120 already. So, $100 you get, you get your $100 back plus 325, so nothing major, but something that I thought was a little bit mispriced when they opened them up on Monday night.
So if somebody wants to, do you have to get those bets right now overseas, or can you get them there in Vegas?
No, you can bet them. DraftKings, a bunch of them have them up yet. In Vegas, Westgate, a lot of local shops have them up.
Gotcha. All right. More Brad as we continue. If you have any questions, post them on Twitter at Bill is King. We'll pass them along. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Watch your speed this morning. I-40 coming in through Kingston Springs right now. All the traffic making its way through there eastbound on I-40 coming in from Hickman County and Dixon County as well. 500 block at Donaldson Pike. That's a crash involving injuries. The fire department's being dispatched to that location right now. Prince's Hot Chicken is now available for catering. Check out that menu today at princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Bob's Steak and Chop House, located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. Voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. Bob's Steak and Chop House offers the classic steakhouse experience. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. Open Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to 10 p.m. And they've got complimentary valet parking available. Bob's Steak and Chop House, located 5th Avenue downtown at the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
The rocket launched into the air.
And then crashed into the pond.
I'll never forget that day.
I'll never forget that day, even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and lots of news coming out of Kolig Racing, Stewart Haas Racing. Plus, we hear from driver Joey Logano and that next-gen NASCAR race car. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, I'm Joey Logano, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at Facebook.com/TheFinalLap. We'd appreciate it. Every single weekday right here.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. For this morning, mostly sunny, high near 28. Mostly clear tonight, low around 17. Sunny tomorrow, high near 46. Tomorrow night, showers and thunderstorms, low around 42. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Chris Stone.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Hashtag Fat Side Up. Tweet to Bill at Bill is King to enter the arena of ideas.
Brett Powers with us every Friday. BrettPowersSports.com. If you do have a college basketball question, you can post those as well. If you want to go back and look at the bowls or the season, or you want to point to the future in college, we can do it. If you want to go NFL playoffs, Brad's got you covered there as well. Tony Two Bets this morning says, guys, I'm picking the Chiefs. Time for Big Ben's retirement party. This is not a good Steelers team, he says, Brad.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's also reflected in the point spread. I mean,
right.
Pittsburgh, we talked about it, you know, in the previous segment, but I mean, this is one of the largest underdog roles Pittsburgh's been in the last 30 years. I mean, that's why they're catching, you know, 12 and a half, 13 points. I mean, that's a significant point spread, not only in the playoffs, but for a proud franchise like the Steelers. So, yeah, I mean, that's taken into consideration that the Steelers, that certainly, I mean, if you watch Big Ben this season, especially the last few weeks, even though they've gotten some wins, I mean, this is it for him, and rightfully so. I mean, he struggles throwing it past 10 yards.
Brad Powers with us, Brad Powers Sports. Tom in Myrtle Beach says, guys, I really don't have a question. I just want to thank Brad for his relentless hard work and weekly emails. His service is worth every penny, and I encourage more listeners to subscribe. Go Bucks in 2022.
Well, that was some very nice thoughts there, and I really appreciate that.
Can they get their defense fixed? They hired Coach Jim Knowles from Oklahoma State, as we know. What kind of undertaking is this going to be, Brad, for that defense to get right?
Well, I mean, the talent isn't necessarily the issue there. I mean, fundamentals, I mean, they haven't been a real good tackling team. I thought the linebacker position left a lot to be desired, but maybe rightfully so. They were woefully inexperienced at that position this year. I mean, it can start on the edge by getting some pressure on the quarterback. I mean, they got some guys that could do that, I can tell you. I mean, they got the top two defensive ends in the country that'll end up being true sophomores next year. So, I mean, that's a start. I mean, Jim Knowles is a really good defense coordinator, had you know, a lot of success this year at Oklahoma State. There's just no reason why Ohio State's been struggling on that defense side of the ball. In fact, I mean, it's been an issue for them three of the last 4 years, with the exception being the 2019 season. So, I mean, they had good coaching that year with Jeff Hafley, now the head coach at BC, and you know, Ohio State had one of the best defenses in the country. So I do think coaching was a significant issue and why they were struggling.
And we talked earlier about Mike Elston going to Michigan, but do you think the Harbaugh talk was legit, or was it just a contract ploy?
I think there was some legitimacy there. I mean, there was enough people reporting on it that I thought it, and it wasn't the guys that, you know, typically are mouthpieces for agents out there that were reporting it. So Yeah, I think there was some legitimate interest. And, you know, if I was a college head coach, I would certainly. There's so much uncertainty at the college football level right now, and it's just a different job than what it was even, say, 3-4 years ago, as far as you having to recruit your roster, answer NIL questions about, you know, incoming recruits and players, you know, getting deals and stuff. You don't have to worry about any of that. I mean, that's a GM's job at the NFL. So even though I love college football and prefer it to the NFL, I mean, if I was in the profession, I'm not sure that I would be, you know, gung-ho about, you know, being a college coach at this point.
Georgia winning a national championship, and so many naysayers out there and people criticizing them through the years, always with talent, always with high-ranking recruiting classes, but never winning. Couldn't beat Alabama, even in games where they had the lead. Couldn't hang on against Alabama. Finally getting it does. What does this do for their brand?
Well, I mean, finally getting over the hump, I mean, significant. I mean, they've already been at least the last 3-4 years, I mean, from a recruiting aspect. I mean, they've been a powerhouse. I mean, in fact, I mean, they spent more money on recruiting than any other program in the country. And that's obviously, you know, that's getting paid off with a title. The question I'll have, especially for this upcoming season, will they still have that same hunger and desire, at least this season? But I mean, if I was stack ranking the teams as far as who's going to win the most titles the next 10 years, Georgia be at the very top of that list. I mean, especially with, you know, sooner or later, Nick Saban's going to be retiring. So, I mean, Georgia would be right there with, like, say, Ohio State. So, you know, that's saying something for a program that's only won one title in the next 40, 41 years. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, it was almost like regression towards the mean. I mean, if you, like, stack rank the top 15, 20 programs in college football the last 40 years, and you looked at the teams that have, you know, and looked at each one of those programs, all of them have won a national title in that time frame, with the exception of Georgia. I think Bill Connelly wrote a good article on that. So I just, to me, finally they got some fortune come their way, and it was bound to happen sooner or later when you keep, you know, being at the top of the sport.
Somebody asked me yesterday, who's the team, or is there a team that now becomes the Georgia? Lots of talent, but has not won a national championship. Now, I don't think there is one. You just said that we can take back 41 years. But is there a team that closely resembles the Georgia situation before the championship Monday night?
I mean, they haven't won one in 80 years, Texas A&M. I mean, now they haven't been at the top of the sport on a consistent basis like Georgia, but, I right. mean, they had their years there under R.C. Slocum, Jackie Sherrill, and now under Jimbo. So I would say it's A&M at this point. I would fill that Georgia slot.
It's just that we don't hear every year, why is A&M not doing it like Georgia? They don't have the same brand, yeah. And you just pointed that out. And it's been, what you said, 80 years. For them, but they do resemble Georgia nowadays in that they're building talent, and they're probably going to end up the way it looks right now with the number one ranked class in the 22 group, which is big.
Yeah, not just the number one class in this year. I mean, right now it's the highest rated recruiting class ever, at least in the modern era, the last 20 years when the, you know, the rival scout, you know, 247 days, you know, came to fruition. So I can tell you this, they shouldn't be going 8-4 with a recruiting class like what they just signed, Bill. That's Jimbo going 8-4 with a class like that should be unacceptable. So, yeah, I mean, they're certainly in the mix now. I mean, you still got a big Alabama problem, not only in your own conference, but in your own division. And they did finally get over that hump and beat Alabama, but if I was a betting man, and I am, I would wager that Alabama will get a little bit of revenge this year.
Auburn fans asking me your thoughts on Zach Calzada.
Nothing doesn't move the needle. In fact, a downgrade from Bo Nix, in my opinion. So, I mean, I'm not going to say much more than that. So I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah, that one doesn't get you excited.
No. Let's just say that's not closing the gap between Auburn and Alabama.
What about LSU? And this just happened, I guess, last 24 hours, 12 hours. Noah Kane, Penn State, now committing to LSU.
You know, had some health issues. I mean, really liked him a few years ago. I watched him in the spring game. Obviously, a talented kid coming out of high school. I thought he really ran hard. It's just not him. I mean, they're getting other guys from him. They got a couple of guys in the secondary from Arkansas, including a starter that's impressed me. I mean, Brian Kelly's hitting the transfer portal pretty hard and has to because, I mean, you watch the bowl game. I mean, LSU was down to 39 guys. So, good moves for them. I mean, they can't necessarily rely on the freshman class right now. They need guys to come in and play and start and contribute right now for them to compete here in 2022.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think about LSU Brian Kelly, the staff that he's put together, and some of the transfers they are getting?
I mean, it's solid. I'm not going to put a thumbs down. I mean, it's also not like, you know, wowing me. Like, I'm just overwhelmingly impressed. And, you know, I'm a huge, you know, I think LSU's going to win a national championship in the next 2 or 3 years. So, you know, solid staff, in my opinion. I'm not sure that I, you know, hire Mike Denbrock at offensive coordinator. I probably would have went with more youth there. Good solid staff. That's all I can put it. And obviously, you know, Kelly brings them some stability there that they haven't really had at LSU. You know, they won a national championship somehow, some way. They just haven't had much stability, I mean, the last 6-7 years. I mean, the last, you know, 2-3 years under Les Miles is always was going to be – was he going to get fired? Same thing with Orgeron.
Yeah. What do you – just – and you touched on it there. What kind of calendar are you looking at for Brian Kelly to get him back?
Year three. Let me preface. I mean, anybody, longtime listener, I'm not a huge Brian Kelly fan. I mean, I thought he did an unbelievable job winning the games he should in the last 5 years in Notre Dame, but I'm always going to question his work ethic on the recruiting trail. And for that, I'm pretty bitter being a Notre Dame fan. And I'm not sure that he necessarily put in the effort when that could have been the difference of putting Notre Dame over the hump, at least being a little bit more of a legitimate contender. So yeah, I would say give him 3 years. That division's tough. I mean, there's not a layup anymore, Bill. I mean, the Mississippi schools are you know, can beat you. I mean, obviously, A&M just signed the number one class. Alabama's Alabama. Auburn, I mean, can be competitive. And you got a crossover game with Florida, and I think they're going to be good under Billy Napier. So it's tough. And I know LSU has won a title under Les Miles and Ed Orgeron, two guys that I don't think are as good as Brian Kelly as far as a head coach. So, but with that being said, I just don't see it. I mean, I'm more in the 8-4 range this year, and maybe they can get to 10 the year after that, and then, you know, by year three, contend for a title. But even at that point, I think it's really tough in SEC.
Yeah, I mean, because here's the balancing act when talking about Brian Kelly and LSU. You can recruit better there. We know that. They've won 3 recent national championships with 3 different coaches. That's not to be disputed. But you're in a brutal division where there's really – I mean, Arkansas – I've seen some projections for what it's worth. That's got Arkansas, Brad, in next year's preseason top 10.
Yeah.
I mean whether it's true or not, it just tells you that is a killer division.
It is. I mean, from a power ratings aspect, I mean, all 7 teams in that division are top 30 caliber teams. I mean, from a Vegas power rating, obviously you got to play the game. People are going to lose. You might have a 6-6 team, but I mean, that's how it's ridiculously tough. I mean, so, and I'll say that Brian Kelly's not a guy that won a lot of games when, you know, he was up against it in Notre Dame. Doesn't have a lot of marquee wins when you start going through there. I mean, did a really good job beating the teams he should, but there's not a lot of times where they outperformed expectations when they were, you know, it was even Steven as far as the point spreader. They were in the underdog role.
It's going to be tough. What about, and you touched on Southern Cal. What do you like or not so much like about what Oklahoma's putting together?
Well, no, I like the Venables hire for starters. I like Jeff Levy as an offensive coordinator. So, I mean, I both of those two, you know, because, I mean, that was ultimately important for Venables, you know, to get a really good OC and to get a guy like Levy who I think is really good. I think that's really good in that department, also really good. I mean, they've done a decent job. They got a top 10 recruiting class, even though they're going through a coaching change. I mean, I think that says something. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the offensive line coach, who I thought was one of the best assistant coaches, position coaches under Lincoln Riley's staff, he's staying. So I think that's a really good move. We'll see how it shakes out. Dylan Gabriel is going to come over. He's familiar with Levy's system, you know, from a few years ago. So, yeah, it's not getting a lot of national publicity, but I know a lot of people are questioning, you know, how bad Oklahoma's going to be in this. I'm not seeing it that way. I know they got a lot of to replace, and a lot of guys have hit the portal and whatnot. I mean, my expectation is, and you know, I'm ways away from it, but I'd be stunned if they're not my top two or three in the Big 12 as far as a power rating entering next season.
One more, and you were talking about Bill Biedenbaugh at Oklahoma, but Harry Hiestand coming back to Notre Dame. How big is that?
Yeah, I mean he's. As far as the X's and O's, he's better than Jeff Quinn, certainly by any by leaps and bounds. And when you look at what Notre Dame has coming back, I think Jarrett Patterson coming back was really big for Notre Dame's offensive line. Otherwise, you would have had some question marks on that interior on the Irish front as far as the guards in the center. But with him coming back, plus I think he got two outstanding tackles, probably two future first-rounders in Joe Alt and Blake Fisher. I really like the personnel. The recruiting the last couple of years has been really good. So, I mean, and then when you put Hiestand on the on coaching those kids, I mean, Notre Dame's going to have a top five offensive line the next few, not just this upcoming year, but the next several years.
All right, more Brad as we continue. We'll let you know here next segment how you can get all his info. BradPowersSports.com. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Morning. Debris cleanup continues on 65 southbound in OHB down in Brentwood. Earlier, they were really dodging all that stuff that came off a truck, and now there's a crash at Nolensville Pike at Old Burkett Road. That's got traffic really tied up. If you know anything about trying to get out of Nolensville this time of the morning and trying to get up to Concord Road, it's crazy slow. This is just aggravating that situation. Warmer weather is waiting for you at Pensacola Beach. Log on today, PensacolaBeach.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Looking for something to take your mind off this traffic? How about a true story of instant success? Did you hear about the two friends who went grocery shopping in Ashland City and picked up everything on their list plus $75,000? Or the one where a truck driver made a last-minute stop off Interstate 40 and drove off with a cool million? All their lives changed in an instant, and yours could too. So stop by your local retailer for your chance with instant games from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing, life-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Hello, I'm Greg Pogue.
And I'm Coach Tom Hodges.
Join us Saturday mornings at 9 for the shoot-around presented by Goggin Cold Hall, the coldest team in town.
It's a weekly celebration of all things round ball, from high schools to colleges to the NBA.
It opens with our starting five topics, followed by the two-man weave.
The slowest fast-breaking radio.
The shoot-around is also brought to you by Freeman Webb, Rush Truck Centers, the U.S. Army, Bud Morris, State Farm Insurance, Valentino's Restaurante, the Nashville Scene, and Sam Sports Grill and Sam Sports Play.
That's the shoot-around every Saturday morning at 9.
Got biscuits? Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel does, and Bill King loves them all.
Couple questions here for Brad, and then we'll let him plug his service, which is outstanding, as many people have acknowledged. Jeff Chu says, Bill asked Brad if he were the New York Giants ownership leadership, what would he do to change the trajectory of the franchise the last 10 years?
Well, I mean, cleaning house, which is what they've done outside of ownership right now this offseason. I mean, number one is, I mean, you got to get the GM right. I mean, you got to draft better. I mean, if you look at the teams that consistently draft well, I mean, franchises like the Steelers, I mean, even though they're not draft, they're not at the top of the draft every single season. Some stability at GM would be key. So that would be the number one hire. And then obviously it comes down to the head coach. I don't know. It's, you know, growing up in the 80s and early 90s, I mean, obviously the Giants were one of the, you know, top five, six franchises in the NFL. But I mean, you know, and obviously they had a good run there with Eli and Tom Coughlin winning a couple of titles. But I mean, the last six, seven, 8 years, I mean, it's been as bad as any franchise in the league. And I mean, that's just unacceptable in that New York market.
And one more from Jeff. He says, Brad, do you feel like the Titans are in the best position to win the AFC with the probable return of Derrick Henry?
No, just because, I mean, from a pure power ratings aspect, I mean, I think Buffalo and Kansas City are better. But, you know, Tennessee beat both of those teams, and they're going to get them at home just like, the you know, what they had in the regular season. So I think Tennessee obviously is very well coached. I mean, I've said this multiple times. I think Vrabel should be the coach of the year, considering all the injuries he had to deal with. And getting the number one seed. I've had a pretty good pulse on Tennessee. I probably made more money on and against Tennessee than any other team in the league so far this season. They have a really high floor, but the ceiling isn't there for me for Tennessee to win the AFC, even though they have home field advantage. I mean, I still got to face Patrick Mahomes and an Andy Reid possibly. And I just don't think Tennessee's, you know, and that's in a playoff situation, win or go home. I think Kansas City, that game's going to probably have Kansas City a slight favorite.
Brad, tell everybody how they can get all of your content, all your information.
Yeah, so we'll start with the newsletter. If you want all the NFL playoff picks, plus all of next season and all the off-season stuff that I do as far as prep for college football, it's $69. I mean, you're covered through next year's Super Bowl. Go to bradpowersports.com, click on the Bill King tab at the top of the page. Plus, if you want daily VIP updates with college hoops, as people get more and more involved with that, you can check that out. That's $99. Again, bradpowersports.com, click on the Bill King tab at the top of the page.
Brad, we'll see you next week, sir. Appreciate it very much.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Bill. Take care.
There he is.